The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
A 10 million pilot scrappage scheme to encourage motorists to buy EVs opened for applications yesterday and was fully subscribed within 1 hour. The scheme funds around 2,000 cars and works by making a €5,000 grant available to replace petrol and diesel cars that are older than 13 years with EVs. And that is in addition to the existing 3,500 SEAI grant. The clearly popular scheme was introduced by Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien, and he joins us now. Good evening to you, Minister. Your scheme was very popular, but it was all used up within an hour. How many people missed out?
I don't know that yet, but it was really clear, Ciara, that this was a pilot scheme. It will be time-bound. I'm really pleased that it's fully subscribed and it's going to help 2,000 households to change out of older cars into new EVs. So I said we would run a pilot scheme. We'd assess its success afterwards and look at where the sales were. I wanted to ensure that we'd penetration into the rural area, and that's why two-thirds of the funds allocated were for rural areas and one-third for the metropolitan areas. I'm pleased to see that we've actually been successful in that. And also from the initial data that I've got, actually, many small EVs have been purchased through this scheme. So, look, it supports what's been done already. We've seen already for the first half of this year about 85% increase in EVs registered versus this time last year. So we're touching 250,000 electric vehicles on our roads now. And I think people are responding, yes, to the grant support to €3,500 that's there and in place. And I've added more money to that to ensure that that grant remains at 3,500, which it will. And then the top up was really to try to get into those older cars, the 13 years or older, as you've said. And it's been very successful. So I'm very pleased with it.
And if it is that you want to incentivize people to get out of those cars, why is it only a pilot scheme and why was it capped?
Haven't been done before. To be honest, there's been two previous scrappage schemes, you know, going back years and years. There hasn't been a scrappage scheme in relation to EVs. And I've listened to people, you know, and people are much more positive about EVs. You're seeing the three most reasonable or cheapest cars in the market now being EVs as well. And like, they save significant monies for people in running the car, you know, over the course of the year, about €1,500. You know, we've lower road tax on them as well. Lower BIK also, or no BIK, should I say. And, you know, it's really what this has been to do is to try to see, look, is there a way of particularly getting into those rural areas and getting the older cars out? So, look, I'll assess the when I get the full data in relation to the to this Pathfinder scheme, and we'll have a look at it and then assess what we do next. But look, the main thing is for people who are listening, there's been a big discussion over the last few weeks about EVs. I think from talking to people and from car dealers as well, there's been a big increase in interest in EVs, full stop. So even people who weren't accessing the top-up grant scheme, more people buying those cars. And that's a good thing for our climate, and it's a good thing for people's pockets.
Okay. Was it fair, Minister, to ring-fence only a third of it for the cities when we know that emissions cause air pollution in the cities in sort of to a greater extent than they do outside our cities? Was that a fair thing to do, especially because more of the population live in our cities now than live in rural Ireland?
Yeah, I think that if you look at normal EV registrations outside of this scheme, they're very heavily based towards the cities and also to particularly the greater Dublin area. So what I wanted to do was to look at counties that there hasn't been that level of penetration or pickup, and that's why I actually weighted it towards rural areas. So I think it was fair. You know, a lot of rural homes are perfect for home charging as well. And so, look, it has been a success, whatever way you think. I'm sure there were some people who are disappointed they didn't get into the scheme. But we did give a lot of notice for this scheme as well. It opened up, and as you said, it was fully subscribed within an hour or an hour and a half. And now we've real data on this, and that's also a very important thing. So we're not just projecting or, you know, having a look at what may be the response to something like this. Now we have a scheme that went out. It was successful. We have the data. We know where the cars have been bought. We actually know already, you know, the age of those cars. Like, you know, we've cars up to 20 years old that have been that have come in. So we've kind of an initial breakdown of that already. So, you know, you're looking at cars of up to, you know, 2009. You know, it's about 30% of those cars. So a lot of old cars there that have come off the road, which are the high pollutant cars. And I think it's a very good thing. And as we're continuing with the normal grants, which are still substantial at €3,500, we're seeing prices of EVs reduce, and as I said, three of EVs are the most reasonably priced cars in the Irish market at the moment, and that's a good thing for our clients. It's a good thing for people's pocket as well.
And obviously you do want to incentivize people to move into EVs, and you mentioned they're charging at home, etc. Mm-hmm. We know that there's 1,600 public chargers around the country, but the ESB has said that only 1,400 of them can be used at once. Don't we need to do more than put people into EVs? We need to give them a means of actually charging them properly?
Yeah, we do. And I think that number of 1,600 is actually more than that, because they're the ESB ones, about 3,400 public charges around the country. I'm putting more money into that on behalf of our citizens.
Have they some way of charging off the grid that the ESB are using?
No, I'm not saying that. Like, they're all, but like it would be exceptionally rare. I actually heard the piece yesterday you did on the Hard Shoulder on that everyone is charging at the same time. It's like everyone's not filling up their cars with petrol at the same time. And I'm not being dismissive in any way. There is more work needs to be done on that, no question about it. But we're going to see a further increase of about 30% in EV chargers out there. A lot of people do.
And can the grid take that, Minister? Because the ESB is saying they can't all charge at once. So you can put as many chargers out there as you want, but if they aren't usable at the same time, it's hardly extra capacity.
Well, sure. Well, most of them can be used at the same time. You use a figure of 1,400 out of 1,600. But I think the point you make in relation to grid investment is absolutely valid. That's why we are investing between now and 2030 just short of €19 billion on our grid. That's under a program called ER6. And that relates to increasing grid capacity, improving its resilience. It's overdue investment, to be very frank with you as well, and something that I've prioritised. And things like the North-South Interconnector, which has been discussed on your show as well, are critical projects that need to go ahead, that will improve grid capacity, make sure we can get more renewables into our system. About 50% of our electricity this year has been generated through renewable energy. That's a really good thing.
Okay.
We want to do more, but we need more storage. We need more capacity within our grid, no question about that. But just from the statistics that we have, a lot of people do choose to charge at home. Set the charges to timers where they're charging overnight as well. That's why we do provide grants for home charges too. That's not getting away from the point that you make. Yes, there are some issues with some charges as to how long they take to be actually electrified, where I've seen that across the country where they're built and they're in place, and that needs to be improved upon. I've met ESB about that. But, you know, that's a resolvable situation where certainly the public EV charging network is greatly improved. It needs to improve further. But a lot of people will choose and do choose to charge at home.
Yeah, no,
and that's just the reality of it, you know.
I'm aware of that. Sticking with chargers for a moment, is there any update on the 130 Dublin buses lying idle because of a lack of chargers?
Well, that's less than that now. There's two a week coming back in. And to be fair, when we look back...
So that would be 65 weeks to get them all...
They're actually all going to be back. There's more.
14 months.
They will all be back, all in service by the end of quarter one next year. So the end of quarter one, 2027, all of those buses will be in service. To be fair to my predecessor, Eamon Ryan, when he purchased, it was a bulk purchase of these buses. Because at the time, we remember with COVID, that there was additional capital that couldn't be spent. The correct decision was made by government to bulk purchase them. They would have cost a lot more if we'd waited to do that. They are going into service. They will all be in service by the end of quarter one next year. And like they're at
no,
an average.
No, and that sounds good, except for there was nothing stopping him, I'm sure, sorting out the charges at the same time as bulk buying the buses, was there?
Yeah, well, I suppose you could look at it. The buses were bought at an accelerated rate, and I've looked at this. I was involved in that decision, to be fair, because I was around cabinet. I agreed with it. I think it was the right thing to do. The depots are upgraded. The buses, and I've been out in the depots.
Minister,
myself.
People will still see it as mismanagement that the chargers weren't provided in tandem.
I get that. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm also seeing, when you're replacing old buses, new buses coming in, that has to be done in a phased way. Could it have been done better? Absolutely, it should. It hasn't been a waste of taxpayers' money, Ciara. If anything, the bulk purchase and buying them forward has actually saved money. In the instance that if we were to purchase those buses now, they would cost a lot more. But what I can assure your listeners and people is that all of those buses that remain to go into service will be in service, will be on our roads by the end of quarter one just next year. And that is happening. I visited the depots myself across. I've met with Bus Éireann, I've met with Bus Alclia, who this relates to specifically. I've been out in in depots as well. I've seen the new charging infrastructure that's in place. I've seen the new buses that are coming in, met with the staff, met with the drivers. So it is happening. But I do take the point.
Sticking with public transport, Metrolink legislation may be fast-tracked by yourself. What legislation is required for Metrolink?
No, this is just about the governance. Basically, this is TII, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, have done a really good job in managing the project to tender. And we've got the first big tender out there at the moment. We want to start the work next August. And actually, some preliminary work has already been done. So this will start in earnest just north of Swords from August. What I want is a very specific focus on this one project, and that's why I'm bringing it forward.
But we're being told you're going to waive pre-legislative scrutiny. What legislation is required to deliver public transport?
This is not to deliver. This is basically to set up a separate governance over this project. So TII are dealing with a lot of things at the moment. They're dealing with expansion of our rail lines, Lewis Finglas, DAR Plus South West, DAR Plus West, of Cork Commuter Rail, all of those various things. A project of the magnitude of Metro, which is the largest transport infrastructural project we've ever delivered, needs razor-like focus. And that's why the legislation I'm bringing in, which is very simple, by the way, which is just setting up a specific governance structure around that, it doesn't require pre-legislative scrutiny. It needs to be in place.
Layer of bureaucracy, which we hear is an obstacle to delivering infrastructure?
Oh, no. This body's been set up to actually deliver it. So, if anything, it's to ensure that it's streamlined. It is the very opposite. And, if anything, one thing I continue to do is to cut bureaucracy. This is to ensure that the Metrolink project, which is so critical for our country, has a singular focus on delivering that and delivering in a timely way and in an efficient way that ensures that this investment on behalf of our people is delivered on time and on budget. And that's what it's there for.
And when you say on time, what is that timescale? When can we expect to hop on Metrolink?
Well, I would say, if we get started next August, which I think we can, next August, September is the plan to start working. You're looking at about an 8-year build on this. So you're looking at, it is a big, big project. So you're looking at, starts in 2027. You're looking at the early to mid 2030s.
An 8-year build. And how long is it? 21 kilometres?
Yeah, but it's going right the way through the middle of our city. And I think it can be delivered in phases too. I've mentioned that. So
Madrid delivered 203 kilometres in 8 years. And we're going to deliver 21
I think to be fair, this Metrolink will integrate with all of our existing transport systems. So basically what it'll do, north of Swords, right the way into the city, integrate it then and connect it to commuter rail, to Dart, to Lewis, all at the Stephen's Green stop and out to the south of the city. Obviously the work within the city is intricate because you're dealing with, and that's no question about that. But we'll be starting it. I foresee a situation where you can start, you can build right the way through to north of O'Connell Street. You could potentially open that sooner and then build from there. And that's this is happening here. I've said to you before, I went to the launch of what was Metro North back in 2005. Okay. It was shelved by a previous government for a 10-year term. One thing I did not agree with. I committed that we get this back on track, if you excuse the pun. We've backed it for the first time with the first $2 billion, and this project is happening, and it's badly needed because it's...
Everyone thinks it's badly needed. Can I ask you one more question before you go? And we're going to be joined later on by Owen Curry, because representatives of the aviation industry have asked, because of significant pressures on airports around Europe, for the suspension of the EES, which is the entry-exit system that we manage European borders by, Schengen, basically. It's causing huge problems, they're saying, for passengers with delays and all sorts of issues in airports. They want it suspended, in part at least, over the holiday period because of that. Would you be supportive of that happening?
I haven't seen the proposal, Ciara, to be very honest with you. I listened to Owen with interest. I have a lot of regard for him too. This would be an EU-wide decision that would have to be taken, but I've seen no proposals in that regard. So I don't want to say
in
one
principle,
way or the other. No, I'd have to see what they're looking for, but this is a European competence as well. There would be others other than Ireland would be involved in this, but I'll certainly look at it, and I'll look at it with an open mind.
Minister Dara O'Brien, thank you very much for joining
us. You're very welcome, Ciara.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.